We say good morning to all of our friends and family who are in the house today. Good morning, Friendship.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good to see you all as well. Somebody say amen. There's something going on in my spirit. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. I think, Derek, I've been meditating on you all the week. I believe this is the Lord. If it's not, you discard it. I hear the Lord saying, you can come back from that, whatever it is. You can come back from that, whatever that is, amen. You can come back from that. Somebody say amen. Bless God for the word, amen. 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 There's a stirring going on in my spirit right now. I don't know exactly what it is. What I'm going to do is move forward. And as the Lord gives me liberty, and as he makes it clear what that stirring is, I'll yield to him. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. We're still in our teachings concerning the kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God. / the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And today, thank you for staying with us today. Somebody say amen. And today we want to start a new teaching. It might just be one week. Somebody say 1 week. But if it's not, we'll carry it on until it's done. Somebody say amen. Today's lesson, or we're going to start a teaching today entitled In Kingdom Lifestyle, Our Faith Will Be Tried or Tested. In the kingdom lifestyle, our faith will be what? Tried. Or tested. Somebody say amen. If you're born again, you're part of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. If you're a child of God, you are citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. Which means that if you are a believer, child of God, or a believer and a child of God, we are all part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And since we are part of the kingdom of God, somebody say amen. And since we live by faith, amen. The scripture declares that the just shall live how? Somebody say by faith. So we are just. We're justified. So we do live by faith. And since we live by faith, our faith will be tried. Somebody say tried or tested. Somebody say amen. So today we want to start by defining some of the terms that are mentioned in our title or our message title today. Again, the message title is in the kingdom lifestyle, our faith will be tried or tested. Let's start today by defining the word faith. Somebody say faith. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Faith is, or our faith is simply confidence in God. Confidence in God. Somebody say confidence in God. Or confidence in his ability to do. Somebody say amen. If we have faith, can you just turn me down just a little bit? If we have faith in God, somebody say faith in God, we do trust in his ability to do or accomplish the things that the word declares that he can do. Somebody say amen. Number two, our faith is confidence in his word. Somebody say confidence in his word. Or confidence in what he said, or confidence in what he says. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. So faith is simply confidence in God's ability or confidence in his word. Somebody say amen. Confidence has to do with full trust in. Confidence has to do with a lack of doubt. Somebody say a lack of doubt. So if we have faith in God, guess what? We have full confidence in God. Somebody say full confidence. We don't doubt that he can do whatever he says he can do whenever he declares that he wants to do it. Somebody say amen. We believe. Somebody say we believe. We believe in his existence. We believe in his ability. We believe in his word. Somebody say amen. And we don't doubt it. Somebody say amen. The scriptures say we can't please God unless we have faith in God. The scripture says in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is what? It is impossible to please him. Forgive me. I have this lingering cough. The doctor says going on with people who've had flu, colds, et cetera, et cetera. They're having a hard time getting rid of it. I've had shots and pills and all those things. I'm not contagious. It's just a lingering cough that will persist until it goes away. Somebody say amen. As soon as you get set, I need you to turn me down just a little bit. Somebody say amen. So if we are to please God, we must have what? Somebody say faith. We don't please God by our works. We don't satisfy God by our works. Somebody say amen. But we please him how? By faith. Now, within faith, there is obedience. But ultimately, God wants us to have confidence in him, have trust in him, have trust in his ability, and trust in his word. Somebody say amen. Number two, let's define kingdom living or the kingdom lifestyle, if you will. Somebody say amen. Kingdom living or kingdom lifestyle is defined as living according to God's system. Living according to God's system. Somebody say amen. Now we've defined and declared the kingdom of God, one, to be the system of God. Say system of God. Can you say system of God? God has his own system. God has his own way of doing things. Am I talking to the right house? And it's always contrary to the way that the world does things. The world is in opposition. Say opposition. That is Satan, that is the unsaved, et cetera, et cetera. You do know Satan is the god of this world. Oh, my God. You do know Satan is the god of this world. Somebody say this world. He's the god of the system that's contrary to God's system. He's running that system. Him and his imps are behind that system. Somebody say amen. So God's system is totally contrary to the system of Satan. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, the word says, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, in salvation, say in salvation, we've been delivered from the power of darkness or from the kingdom of darkness or from the rule of Satan. Somebody say rule of Satan into the kingdom of our God's Christ or Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Somebody say amen. So by the mere fact that we've been delivered from one kingdom to another helps us to understand that they are in opposition to one another. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So kingdom living, say kingdom living, has to do with living according to God's system. Somebody say God's system. You remember, seek ye first what? The system of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things and what happens. All these things are added unto us. Somebody say amen. So God has his own system. Somebody say his own system. And living according to God's system takes on two meanings. Somebody say two meanings. Are y'all following me this morning? Two meanings. One is living by faith in him. When we live according to God's system, we live by faith in him. Somebody say we trust him. Somebody say we trust him. I don't care. You know, this is Black History Month, and I haven't mentioned anything about Black History Month for the whole month. And the month is almost over. We celebrate Black History. Somebody say, man, when I got up this morning, I was Black History. When I went to bed last night, I was Black History. So I celebrate my history. I celebrate your history because Black History is our history. Black History is us. Amen. Now, along with Black History in our culture, sometimes we'll make three words one. No. Somebody say, no. He didn't know. That's one word. That means he didn't even know. In our culture, we do that. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So if we're gonna live by the system of God, say system of God, we gotta renew our mind. Somebody say amen. God is a God of word or words. Somebody say amen. And we need to pronounce his words like he pronounces them. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So if we're going to live according to the system of God, one, we're going to live by faith in him. Whatever the scripture says he can do, we believe it. Okay. Whatever the scripture says he has done, we what? Because we believe the scriptures, because the scriptures are God's word. Somebody say amen. So one, if we're going, since we're living the kingdom lifestyle, since we're living according to God's system, we live by faith in him. And two, we live by faith in his word. Somebody say faith in his word. Somebody say faith in his word. We believe he can't lie. Somebody say can't lie. We believe that God is not a man. We believe that God is what? A spirit. Somebody say spirit. So when we say the man upstairs, that's not an accurate depiction of God, because he's not a man. Somebody say he's not a man. When we say the man did it for me, we must be talking about another man, because God is not a man. God is spirit. Somebody say God is spirit. Or God is a spirit. And the scripture declares that we should worship him how? In spirit and truth. I define truth as realities from his realm, which Jesus came in the earth realm and declared to us. Amen. So we worship him according to God's word. Somebody say God's word. Or according to the truth that God declared unto us through his son Jesus. Somebody say amen. Jesus said his word is what? Truth. Somebody say truth. He said his word is truth that what? Can liberate us or set us free from anything. Am I talking to the right house? I'm talking to the right house. I don't know if you're with me. Somebody say amen. So if we're going to live in God's system or live the kingdom lifestyle or live according to his system, we must trust God. And I know this is elementary to some of us, but it's not elementary to everybody, because a lot of us believe that God don't always tell the truth. Okay. Especially if what you heard him say didn't happen in your life yet. So we're going to live according to his system. We always got to believe that he tells the truth. And we got to believe the truth until the truth happens in our lives. Am I talking to the right house? And we must believe in his word. Somebody say amen. So we define two things. We define what? Faith. And we define the kingdom lifestyle, or what the kingdom lifestyle details or entails. Somebody say amen. The last thing we want to define is the word tried. Somebody say tried. Somebody say tried. Or tested. Somebody say tested. They can be used interchangeably. Somebody say amen. The word tried means to be put to the test. Somebody say the test. Whenever you are being put to a test, something is being examined. Somebody say examined. You ever been to the hospital? You ever been to the doctor? Whenever the doctors say we need to run some tests on you, what are they doing? They're examining something or a part of us for a particular reason. Somebody say amen. So number one, the word tried means to be put to the test or examined. As for its quality or give experimental use to. Somebody say amen. So when our faith is being tested, to make it real simple, our faith is being tried out. Somebody say tried out. Our faith will be tried. Our faith will be tried out since we are part of the kingdom of God. It's going to make a little bit more sense to you in a little bit. Somebody say amen. Number two, the word tried or the word test means or is defined as proven to be useful or correct. Proven, somebody say proven. To be useful or correct. So our faith is going to be tried to see how useful it is. Our faith is going to be tried to see how correct it is. Somebody say amen. Y'all done got real quiet on me now. I'm listening. Somebody say amen. And number three, the word tried means to be tested and proved good, dependable, or trustworthy. Somebody say amen. So our faith will be tested to see how trustworthy it is. Is my faith really trustworthy? Can God really trust me to use the faith that he's given me? That's heavy right there. Can God really trust me to use the faith that he's given me? Somebody say amen. The scriptures say all of us have been given a measure of faith by God. So are we using that faith? So, somebody say so. So the word tried means to be tested and proved good, dependable, or trustworthy. Somebody say amen. Y'all got all those definitions? You didn't? You got to go back and listen. Somebody say amen. Because I got to move on to the meat now. Somebody said the meat. The next thing we want to look at three things concerning our faith. Somebody say our faith. Number one, you ready? Our faith, say my faith, cannot be tried or tested unless it experiences attacks. Say my faith cannot be tried or tested unless it experiences attacks. So I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. So we need to begin to think this way. Every hardship, every sickness, and every disease is an attack against our faith. We need to learn to think this way. Say, think this way. Every hardship or difficult period in our lives, every sickness, or in every disease is an attack against our faith. Somebody say against our faith. The attack comes to find out what our faith is made of. Can I make it simple? When the attack comes, are we going to trust God? Or are we going to trust something or someone else? Am I talking to the right house? Our faith cannot be tested unless it undergoes attack. Somebody say amen. We got to begin to think this way. If we don't begin to think this way, we will succumb to every attack. We got to begin to think this way. Every adversity, every hardship, every sickness or disease is an attack against our faith. Now it comes in the form of attacks against us. But the reality is, it's attacking our faith. It's attacking our faith to see if we're going to trust God. Now, while I accept every diagnosis that comes from the doctor, I don't accept every one of his remedies to heal me. Am I talking to the right house? While I accept, I know God has given man wisdom, has given man some expertise in some areas. While I accept his diagnosis, I don't always accept his remedy. Somebody say amen. And if I petition God when I find myself in a place of sickness or disease or an adversity, I've learned to petition God, to ask God, what's your choice in this, Lord? What's your will in this, Lord? How do you desire me to handle this, Lord? Do you want me to trust you for supernatural healing and deliverance? Or do you want to heal me through the hands of the doctors? See, I understand according to the scripture, I think it's Luke 18:27, with man, there are some possibilities. With God, what man cannot do, God can do. Somebody say amen. Which helps me to understand when I read that scripture that there are some things that God can use man to work out in my life. Somebody say amen. And if man can't do it, God's standing right there waiting to do it for me. Somebody say amen. So the first thing I do when I find myself in a situation, I had to grow to this. I had to go through the process to get there. I'm going to ask God, how do you, not how do you want me, but how do you want to handle this situation? Lord, do you want me to go to the doctor and let them do it? And you do it through them, or do you want to do it supernaturally? Lord, what's your will or what's your choice in this? I give him priority because I belong to him. Okay. I belong to myself. I belong to him. And he knows what he wants me to do in this earth realm, amen. So if he wants me to stay around a while to do what he desires me to do, to fulfill my purpose, destiny, he's going to tell me how to handle the situation. Let me throw this scripture at you. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He's going to give us some direction. Can I help somebody today? Now, some things we pray to or pray to God about, we need to be careful how we pray. Somebody say, how we pray. Somebody say, what do you mean, Pastor? Some prayers we ought not to speak audibly. Some prayers we ought not to speak audibly. Somebody say, out of our mouths. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have said out of our mouths. Somebody say, amen. Why, Pastor? Because Satan and his imps are listening, amen. They are listening just like God is listening, amen. And if Satan get any opportunity, he going to slip in a deceit on you. Somebody, or on us. Somebody say, amen. You praying out loud, say, God, what you want me to do about this? And then Satan get in your head and tells you, oh, just hang in there. It's going to be all right. You don't need to do nothing. It's going to work itself out. Somebody say, amen. We need to make sure when we're asking God for directions, especially about our health or health issues, we need to learn how to pray those prayers inwardly. Somebody say, inwardly. Can you say inwardly? God can hear you just as well inwardly as he can hear you outwardly. I don't know how much scripture you've read. Somebody say amen. But the scripture tells us when Jesus got close to folks, sometimes he knew their hearts. Or he knew what they were thinking before they even said it. Or if they said it, he would address it according to their thoughts. Amen. So we can pray some prayers and we need to pray some prayers inwardly. Somebody say inwardly. Somebody say inwardly. Now, once you get the answer from God, you can declare it outwardly. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, you need to confess it on a regular basis because you're trusting him to do the answer that he's provided for you. I wish I had a praying church this morning. So instead of you or me knowing or think that we know the answer to what we're going through, we need to ask the one who really knows. We need to ask, Lord, what's your choice in this? Lord, how you want to handle this? Now, he might tell you, I want to heal you supernaturally, so just trust me to do that. But he might tell you, I'm just telling you the way that I do things, or he might tell you to go to the doctor and trust me to heal you through the hands of the doctor. Now, when I pray, I'm sick, got something going on, if I hear from God, and this might not be the right thing to do, I'm just telling you what I do, if I hear from him in a substantial amount of time, guess what I do? I go to the doctor. Now, I've gone to the doctor before, and the doctor said he wanted to do a surgery on me. And I heard immediately conviction from the Spirit, no. Somebody say no. Somebody say no. You know what I did? I obeyed God. But then I went back and he came up with another procedure because I told him no about the one that he wanted to do. And God didn't say anything, so I let him do that. But I obeyed God when I heard from God. Am I talking to the right house? Don't always assume you know how to handle a situation. And don't sit around and just wait for something to happen. Ask God, God, what's your choice for me in this situation? I hope you're getting the point. What's your choice for me in this? Lord, I know what my choice is, but my choice might not be your choice. And you're the sovereign God. You know everything. You know my tomorrow from my yesterday from my next week, et cetera, et cetera. So Lord, I want to know your choice concerning this. Somebody say amen. So number one, somebody say number one, our faith cannot be tested unless it's attacked or unless it experiences attack. Somebody say amen. Let's put some word on this. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Y'all all right? Have y'all learned anything yet? Somebody say amen. Have anything been confirmed yet? Somebody say amen. Now listen to this. The scripture, this is Jesus talking to Simon. Simon here is Simon Peter. Say Peter. Somebody say Peter. And the Lord says, Simon. I've told you this before. Anytime the Lord called your name twice, you really need to pep up and listen. Somebody say amen. He said, Simon, Simon, he said, indeed, somebody say indeed, Satan has acts for you. Somebody say, acts for you. Now, this is what I understand. This is what I believe. This is what I've been taught. Satan can't attack me unless he get permission from God. Satan can't attack my faith unless he gets permission from God. You remember Job? Satan went before Job, and Job had to get permission from God, or Satan had to get permission from God in order to attack him. And once he got permission once or twice, he wore him out. Somebody said he wore him out, but his faith stood. He wore him out. He took his possessions. He took his children. He took his health. But God said, you can't take his life. He wore him out. But Job stood. Somebody say stood. How do we know he stood? Because at the end of the book, we see that Job got double for his trouble. Somebody say amen. He withstood. Somebody say withstood. So we're going to read in a minute, yeah, right here, that he wanted to sift Peter as wheat. Basically, he wanted to tear him to pieces. Somebody said tear him to pieces. So the Lord says, Jesus said, Satan has asked for you, asked permission for you that he may do what? Somebody say sift you as wheat. Simply attack your faith. Somebody say attack your faith. Attack your faith by attacking you. Listen to what Jesus says in the next verse. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Somebody say, pray for you. He didn't pray that he didn't get attacked. He didn't pray that he didn't get sifted as we. I would have rather that he prayed that I wouldn't get attacked. But he did not pray that he wouldn't be attacked. Somebody say amen. He said, I have prayed for you that what? Your faith will not, your faith should not, somebody say should not fail. Should not. Now should is conditional. It might or it might not, predicated upon how you are in your faith. He didn't say, I prayed for you, Peter, that you wouldn't get attacked, but he prayed for Peter's faith. Somebody say faith. Because he knew that it was going to take Peter's faith in order for him to make it through the attack. Somebody said through the attack. You can stand up and shout at the devil as much as you want to shout at the devil, amen. But if you don't have faith in what you're doing, you're not going to make it through. Somebody say amen. Somebody say faith. He prayed, he interceded for Peter's faith. I don't know if you understand yet how important faith in God and faith in his word is, but by this mere fact that Jesus prayed for his faith and not him, you should understand how important faith is in kingdom living. He says, but I have prayed for you that your what? Faith should not fail. And then he says what? And when you return to me. But what do you take away from that statement? Do what? Somebody say testify. What else do you take away from that? Okay. We hear a lot of things. Let me tell you what I see. He says, listen, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. This is what I see. I see at some point his faith failed. I can't help but see it because he said, when you return to me, which means he let his situation separate him from God or from his faith in God. Now, God didn't throw him away because God says, when you return to me, what? Strengthen your, when Jesus was resurrected, Peter had denied Jesus. And Jesus said, go and tell my disciples, and Peter, he called Peter by name because he wanted Peter to know that even though you messed up, I still accept you. Somebody say amen. You still a part of me. Somebody say amen. So which helps me to understand that sometimes in the midst of the attack, we might miss it. We might fail. Just the other day, I was making a confession concerning something, and I added something to it, and as soon as I was outside of what I knew God's will from, I repented quickly. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I shouldn't have added this. I should have just said what you said. Somebody say amen. In that instance, my faith failed. My faith separated me from what God had said to me concerning the situation. But I repented. I returned. Somebody say, I returned. Am I talking to the right house? Somebody say, he returned. So we need to understand. Go back to verse number 31. Because I read something in the commentary that helps me to understand. He says, the commentary writer says, the first you asks for you. He says, the first you is plural, which means he wants to sift every disciple like wheat. Amen. And he says, when you get back to verse number 32, the you become personal. Somebody say amen. So lest you think you're not included in the you, we all are included in the you. Remember, I said a few minutes ago, we need to get to the point where we see every adversity, every hardship, every sickness, every disease as an attack from Satan. Somebody say amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. Here's his resume. John 10, 10. Are y'all all right this morning? My time is rolling on. John 10, 10. The thief does not come except to do what? And what? And what? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy life. The only way we're going to get through his attacks is faith in God. Not just faith in God. I need to help you. Faith in his word. I prayed and asked God. This is just a scenario. Sickness was on my life. And this is just a scenario for teaching purposes. I prayed for God. I prayed to God. God, what's your will in this? God responded to me. This is just for teaching purposes only. This didn't really happen to me. Somebody say amen. God responded to me that you shall live and not die. Somebody said, live and not die. So I show God that I trust what he says by confessing what he says, no matter how terrible the situation gets. No matter how bad it looks for me, somebody say amen. I make the confession that I should live and not die. Somebody say amen. Not only do I make the confession, I act like I'm going to live. Somebody say amen. I don't stop doing nothing that I was doing that was legal. Somebody say amen. I still go to the store. I still go to the movies. I still go around my friends. I still, glory to God, have fun with my family. I don't act like I'm going nowhere because I believe the report of the Lord. So the question is, whose report do you believe? Amen. And most of us are going to say we believe the report of the Lord. But your actions and your words sometimes says that you don't believe God's report. Amen. So if God says I'm going to live and not die, I don't give a care about what the doctor says. I don't give a care about what my mama say. I don't give a care about what my siblings say. I'm going to say what God say. I'm going to live and not die. And I'm going to act like I'm going to live. Because I asked him the question, and he gave me the answer, you're going to live and not die, and when you live, you're going to proclaim my glory, you're going to give me the praise for me keeping you alive. My God. Now, if I prayed and he'd say, okay, I'm going to bring you home because it's time for you to come home, then I'm going to believe I'm going home. But if that ain't what he says, I ain't going to walk around acting like I'm going to die. I ain't going to walk around sad and gloomy acting like I'm going to live here, amen, or leave here, amen. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And I don't care what preachers say different. I don't care what Sunday school teachers try to teach me different. I don't care how many people telling me I got false hope. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And that's going to come out of my mouth, his report. I'm going to believe his report. And I might add, his report say, I am healed. Somebody say amen. Because he said by his stripes we were healed. Somebody say amen. And we got to get to the point where we receive what he says. So if I pray he give me his word, guess what I'm standing on? I'm going to be like Jesus. It is written, God said, and if it starts looking too bad, I'm going to say, God, you promised me. God, you promised me, glory to God, that I should live and not die. He hastened after his word to perform it. I say, God, you promised me. You promised me that I had a lot of work still to do. God, you promised me. Now, this ain't looking bad to me. You need to turn this thing around because you can't lie, Lord. A lot of us leave before it's time for us to leave. I wish I knew how to hoop. How to hoop that one, amen. A lot of us leave before it's time to leave. Because a lot of us leave when it's my time, it's my time. That ain't always true. If you buy into the lie of Satan, you might leave on out of here. Somebody say amen. But if you petition the Lord, he give you his word and you stand on his word, you'll be around. Paul said, Lord, I'm caught between a twix. I'm caught between two things, whether to live or die. But it's my choice. He said, to know to die would be gain, but if I live, it will be gain for the people whom I'm ministering to. That's a paraphrase. Amen. He denoted that he had a choice in the thing. God, I wish I had a prayer in church. He denoted that he had, and he was an old guy. Lord have mercy. Yeah, I just believe the word of the Lord. He denoted that he had a choice. So he decided to stay around for a little while and help folks, glory God, build their faith, amen, because they needed his expertise in the faith realm. It's just my time. It might not be your time. So number one, somebody say number one, our faith cannot be tried or tested unless it experiences that. Faith cannot be tested. Unless it experienced attack. Now, here's a question to us today. Are we going to sit in here today and treat this like another religious experience? Or are we going to hear the word of the Lord? Are we going to sit in here and act like this is another religious experience, and when the attack do come, we bow down to the attack? Or are we going to use what we've been taught today? The scripture is clear. You can hear the word, but if you don't mix faith with it, I want to cuss so bad. It ain't going to do us a bit of good. If we hear the word and don't mix faith with it, Hebrews chapter 4, it ain't going to do us a bit of good. Now, lest you think you are exempt from the test, from the trial, from being tried, let me help you today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I believe I quit right there. Well, maybe not. Well, maybe not. I still got to speak. No. Somebody say no. No temptation has what? Except what? Who is he talking to here? Somebody say, by way of the text, he's talking to the church at Corinth. By way of the Spirit, he's talking to all of us. Somebody say amen. No temptation, no testing, no trial, no being tried has overtaken you except such as is what? Number one, you need to take away from that particular sentence is trials will overtake us. My God, testings will overtake us. Do you understand what overtake means? Swallow you up. Swallow me up. Overtake. Somebody say overtake. It says no temptation has overtaken you except such as what? Temptation, testing of the faith is common for the believer. It's a part of the human experience for the believer. So every believer, say every believer. Somebody say every believer. Every believer will be tested, or our faith will be tested by overtaking us through trials. Every believer. Somebody say every believer. But listen to the next phrase. But God is what? Somebody say he's faithful. Somebody say he's faithful. Who will not allow what? So whatever level, listen to me, whatever level your faith is being tested on, guess what? You are able to handle it. Your faith is adequate enough to see you through it. Somebody say amen if you use your faith. But God is faithful. Say God is faithful. Who will not allow what? Which looks like to me, the tempter had to give permission in order to test me. It looked like God gave him limitations as to where he could go. Somebody say amen. Because I can only be tempted at the level that I'm able to withstand. So if your faith is being tested, my faith is being tested, we don't have to give in to it. But because I wouldn't test you on an eighth grade level if you're in the first grade. I wouldn't test you on a high school level or a 12th grade level if you're in the eighth grade, amen. Because I'm indicating that the test is going to be too great for you. I wouldn't test you with trigonometry and all you know is your timetables, because the test is going to be too great for you. I'm going to test you on the level that you can handle. Somebody say amen. God is saying he allows us to be tested, tempted, tried, only on the level that we can handle. What does that say to you? That says to me he don't want me to flunk. He don't want me to flunk the examination. He don't want me to flunk the test, so he tests me where I'm on the level that I can handle. But God is faithful. Say he's trustworthy. But God is faithful, who will not what? Allow you to be tempted beyond what? But, somebody say but. But with what? The temptation, he will what? He don't allow me to be tempted above that which I can handle. And then with the temptation, he's already set up a way for me to get out of it. Somebody say amen. The word escape means the exit. Somebody say exit. Somebody say exit. So, Pastor, what do the exit look like? I'm glad you asked that question. James chapter 4, verse number 7. This is what the exit looks like. You see that door right there? That's an entrance and an exit. If you want to get out of here, unless you go back through that back door, you got to go what? That way. Somebody say that way. That's the only way I can escape this place. Somebody say amen. God has provided an escape for us. What does the escape look like? Excuse me. This is how it looks. Therefore, what? What else? And what else? This is what the escape looked like. One, first, you got to what? Submit to God. Submit to him. Obey his word. Somebody say amen. And then, secondly, you got to stand against the devil. Every now and then, you need to talk some smack to the devil. Talk some smack to him. Get thee behind me, saying in the name of Jesus, you're an offense. You ain't going to cause me to stumble in this area. I'm going to withstand you. You don't own me. I belong to the Lord. I'm God's property. I'm going to submit to God, and I'm going to resist the devil. That's my way of escape. Okay, if that wasn't good enough, go for you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. See, God never intended for us to succumb. That's why he only let us to be tested on our level. And he wants us to come out smelling like a rose, because he wants us to glorify him when we come out. So the first thing we got to learn to do is submit to God. Somebody say, submit to God. And then, I'll tell them in a minute. And then, somebody say, and then, stand against the devil. What does resisting look like? I'm going to oppose you. I'm not going to let you have your way with me. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Oh, man, my time is running out. It says, be what? Be sober, what? Be what? Vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Why is he walking about like a roaring lion? He's trying to find somebody he can tear to pieces. He's trying to find somebody he can hurt. Somebody say amen. Seeking whom, somebody say seeking whom, helps us to understand he can't devour everybody. But some of us who won't stand against him and submit to God, he gonna have his way with us, amen, because you have given him a foothold. I've already told you, what does attack look like? What does attack look like? Hardships, sickness, and disease. Any hardship, an attack. It's attacking your faith. Lord have mercy, I feel like I'm working, amen. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? Listen to what he says in verse number 9. He says, first, what? Resist him. Say resist him. Oppose him. Stand against him. How? Steadfast what? Somebody say steadfast in the faith. A steadfast look like this. I've stiffened my body so stiff until nothing that hits me will make it bend. Nothing won't make it break. Nothing won't make it waver. Resist them how? With unwavering faith. You ain't gonna have your way with me. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by who? Your brother who where? Somebody say in the world. So the same stuff that you're going through as it relates to attack, some other brother has gone through it. Not only has some other brother gone through it, but some other brother or sister can help you through it. Somebody say amen. That's why Jesus told Peter, when you return, strengthen the brothering. Somebody say amen. When you come through, you need to strengthen somebody else. Somebody say amen. Because somebody somewhere is always going through and they need our help. We need to learn to comfort folks with the comfort that we've been comforted with. Somebody say amen. We need to learn how to help one another. I can't see you. I can't look at you with your head bowed down with your head bowed down in gloom or sadness. Somebody say amen. And don't at least walk up to you and say, what's going on with you? And follow up with, is it anything that I can help you through? Especially people that I really know. Especially people that I know and I know their personality. When I see that personality shift, I'm close to them. My wife tells me sometimes you ain't a mind reader, but I try because I want to help people. Somebody say, amen. If I see that personality shift, I'm going to walk up to you and say, what's going on? Can I help you with something? Can I pray with you on something? Because I understand some things I've already gone through. And I hope this don't sound arrogant to you. Some things God has already allowed me to master. And if I've learned the mastery over those things, I ought to be able to help somebody else to master it. Am I talking to the right house? So he says, resist him. Who is the him there? Somebody said the devil. Because he's on the attack. And you know, as time begins to get shorter, he's going to get rougher than he been. So we got to be ready to resist him. How? How are we going to resist him? Steadfast in our faith. We are not going to allow him to make our faith waver and give in to him. I said a whole lot already. And that's just point number one, amen. And I'm going to close on point number one, amen. Next week, we'll finish this. We'll finish this lesson. So number one, our faith. Somebody say faith. Our faith cannot be tried or tested unless it's experienced attack. Every time some of us get a fever, we ought to ask God, how do I need to handle this fever? Do you want to supernaturally heal it? Do I need to take some meds? Or do I need to go to the doctor? Now, you look at me when I use the term fever, because that's just simple. But the Bible said Peter's mother-in-law had a great fever. And Jesus supernaturally took care of that one. He stood over it and spoke to it. And she received her healing. So as simple as a fever, God can heal. Somebody say amen. So wherever we find ourselves, wherever we're going through, we need to find out his choice on how we should handle that situation. Should I go to the altar? Let the pastor lay hands on me. Should I go to the altar and let the pastor pray for me? Should I go to the doctor? Should I do this? Should I do that? We need to allow God to tell us his choice in the matter. And when he tells us his choice, we need to obey his choice. Can I say one more thing? I know my time is up. And I might have already said it, but I don't remember saying it. I don't hear it in my head. Don't add nothing to his choice. Don't add nothing to his choice. His choice is, look at it this way, his choice is perfect. Don't add nothing to it. I know God said I'm healed, but just say what he said. Some healings are progressive. You read the scripture. Some healings are immediate. So which means all of them are not immediate. Some are progressive. All of them are not progressive. Some are immediate, but we need to find out from him what's your choice. What's your choice? I can stand here and preach for the rest of the morning, especially on this subject, but I know y'all will get tired. We were at a baseball game. I'm closing for this time for real. We were at a baseball game. I think it was last week, and we had our grandchildren with us at the baseball game. And the baseball game was going on too long for one of my grandchildren. One of my grandchildren turned to his dad and said, "Daddy, this game is making me tired. It's making me tired." Somebody say amen. So I don't want to make you tired. So I'm going to close. Somebody say amen.